bishops of England and Wales are reminding the faithful that mental illness can happen to anyone, even good Catholics. Mental health was the theme of this year's Day of Life, celebrated last weekend in the Diocese of England and Wales. In a message released ahead of the day, the bishops noted that one in four people will experience a mental health problem at some stage in their life, and said they wanted to raise awareness of the needs of those affected by mental ill health, plus their family and their carers. Sheila Hollins is a Catholic professor of psychology and a former president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists in the UK. She talked to me about her reactions to the Church's decision to dedicate this year's Day of Life to the issue of mental health.
I think it was a brilliant choice and a very well-timed choice, because mental health, or living with mental ill health, really does detract from one's quality of life. And to be able to live a full life, one does need to have very good mental health.
Mental health problems are far more common than perhaps many people would think, aren't they? I gather that one in four will experience a mental health problem at some stage in their life. Do you think people aren't perhaps aware of this?
Absolutely. But if you ask somebody who in their family has had or currently has a mental disorder, and then explain what is included in that term, mental disorder, nearly every family will have somebody who, for example, an elderly person with dementia, somebody who's recently retired or been made redundant, who is depressed, somebody who's anxious, has an obsessional compulsive disorder, somebody with postnatal depression, somebody experiencing severe stress, which is really interfering with their ability to work and live a normal life. Maybe a child or an adult with a severe learning disability, or with autism, somebody with an alcohol addiction or a substance misuse problem, a teenager with an eating disorder. These are all mental disorders.
So of these mental health problems that you've just listed there, what are the most common nowadays?
There are common mental disorders such as depression and anxiety, and alcohol problems, alcohol misuse. Those are probably the most common. Of course, people are living later in life now, and the number of people experiencing dementia is going up. So with people who are over 85, one in five will have dementia. So there are some very common mental disorders. Learning disability or intellectual disability is something which about 3% of the population will have a learning disability such that they need extra help to live an ordinary life.
And what kind of strides have been made in treating mental health problems? Because some of them, of course, are very intractable, particularly, let's say, dementia. I mean, you can sort of mitigate a bit the effect or the speed of the onset, but there's no cure, is there?
No, but cure isn't what it's all about. However, I would like to say a little bit about cure and what we call prognosis, you know, what the likely outcome of the condition is. Mental disorders actually have a much better prognosis than most people think. I'll give you an example. If you have a first episode of schizophrenia, you've got a better outcome than if you have a first episode of diabetes, for example. A quarter of people who have a first episode of schizophrenia will not have a second episode. A lot of people assume that once you've got a mental illness or a mental disorder of some kind, that you can't treat it and that there's nothing you can do. And also, people sometimes think, particularly people of faith, think that all they've got to do is to pray about it, be a better Christian, for example, and that if they do that, then all will be well, the difficulties they're experiencing will go away. That's just not true. Mental disorders, many mental disorders are conditions which have quite a strong medical component to them, and there are effective treatments. It might involve using medication, it might involve psychological therapies, talking treatments, but many of these conditions do respond quite well to treatment. But there are other disorders which are very difficult illnesses to live with. And bipolar disorder, what's sometimes called manic depression, is a condition which often does recur, sometimes after a long gap, a long time without any symptoms. But again, there are good treatments, and providing a person has very good treatment and very good support, both from kind of family, from friends, but very good support from community-based mental health professionals to help them when their symptoms do recur, then again, the outcome can be good.
And how actively involved is the Catholic Church in helping to care for those suffering from mental health problems or providing support for their families?
Well, the Catholic Church isn't immune from the same kinds of discrimination that the rest of society show, unfortunately. And there's a lot of stigma still attached to mental disorders. You'll probably remember years ago there was a huge stigma attached to cancer. That stigma seems to have gone. People will now talk about cancer. They will say that they've got cancer, but very few people actually admit to having depression or an obsessional disorder or an addiction. They keep it quiet. People are ashamed still of having those kinds of conditions. And I don't think that we have enough openness and enough information within church communities to be able to provide the appropriate kind of support. So people are uncomfortable. They don't ask after somebody who is unwell or somebody whose son or daughter is unwell if it's a mental disorder, in the same way that they would if it was a physical disorder. And that is that can isolate somebody even further and make living with depression or schizophrenia that much harder.
So you're saying that there is, in fact, this quite wide tendency on the behalf of, say, the public at whole, the people who are well, to rather steer clear of those suffering from mental health problems. They don't want to get involved, they feel uncomfortable, they don't know what they can do.
That's right, and that is true within church communities as well. And you know, all of us are vulnerable, so it might be the parish priest who is depressed. It may be that it's one of the readers. It may be that it's somebody who's not well known in the church community and doesn't feel welcome in that community. But they are so common. In any 1 year, one in six of us will have a mental disorder. And there is a range from very common mental disorders, which are quite mild, some of which may well clear up on their own, right through to disorders which are really going to interfere with somebody's ability to lead an ordinary life. And those people are going to be sitting in church, coming to church, or perhaps not coming to church, and not joining in parish activities. And I think church communities could do so much, actually, to break down some of the stigma and discrimination that people experiencing mental disorders face.
Can you give us some inspirational or heartwarming anecdotes about some patients you have dealt with who have managed to successfully overcome their mental health problems, who've had a happy ending, as it were?
Yes, I could tell you the story of somebody I've been working with whilst I've been president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. She has appeared with me on a television programme, so the story that I will tell you has already been made public by her. This is a woman who's had schizophrenia for 18 years now, and throughout the early stages of her illness, she continued in her quite high-powered job. And during this time, when she became ill, on a number of occasions, she was sectioned under our mental health legislation. This meant that either a mental health professional or, on occasion, the police would come and to see her and to take her to hospital, something that clearly at the time she was too ill to understand that she was unwell and didn't want to go to hospital. And she says, when I would go to the hospital, there would come a moment when I would be very grateful for the fact that I was there, because I would realize that people were looking after me, keeping me well. And then the time would come when I would want to get out, when I really had decided that I'd had enough of being in hospital and that I was now ready to go back home. And she said some of the difficulties that she then had to face were decisions about what medication to take, side effects of the medication not always so good. She now works as a freelance advisor and consultant about the experience of living with a mental illness, and she works as a kind of service user and advocate for other people with severe mental illness, living a very full life, aware that her illness might recur, but able to talk to people and to be involved in training health professionals about how best to support and look after people with schizophrenia. So I think that's a lovely story.
Yes, indeed. And what made you decide to specialise in this field of healthcare, and how rewarding or what are the best rewards of your job?
I graduated from medicine and decided to become a general practitioner. And in fact, I had never really studied any psychiatry. It wasn't compulsory in my medical school. And when I became a GP, I began to realize that about half of the people who came to see me were people with emotional and mental disorders. And I had not been trained to know how to work with them. So after 3 years in general practice, not feeling properly competent to be able to look after their needs, I decided that I would train in psychiatry, always intending to go back to general practice. But I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I think it's the best career. And I would encourage any young person thinking of going to medical school to really seriously consider a career in psychiatry. 1 in 10 medical students in the United Kingdom, and this would be true around the world because these conditions are so common, but 1 in 10 UK medical students needs to choose psychiatry as a career to fill the post of psychiatrist. And that's more psychiatrists than surgeons, for example. And yet there is quite a lot of stigma attached to those sorts of career decisions, which is partly connected to the whole issue of discrimination about mental illness.
That was Sheila Hollins, former president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists in the UK. And it all goes down.